Welcome to Rethink, a podcast focused on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Sahida Siddiqui, editor with Skilled Nursing News. I'm joined for this episode by Nicole Pretree. Nicole has 2 decades of healthcare and senior living experience and served in various executive roles at Cedar Community for a decade before being appointed CEO in 2021. A faith-based nonprofit, Cedar Community has provided post-acute care, including skilled nursing, across 5 campuses in Wisconsin for the last 70 years. Before we get to my conversation with Nicole, I'd like to tell listeners about our upcoming Capital Inn Strategy Conference taking place on April 11th in Washington, D.C. Since 2017, Capital Inn Strategy has been the premier gathering of home health executives for deal-making and investment in the home health, home care, and hospice market. For 2024, Capital Inn Strategy is expanding to include specific tracks and content for skilled nursing professionals. This expansion will bring not only owners, operators, and developers in these spaces, but the equity, debt, and mezzanine finance providers, along with brokers that support the deal marketplace. For more information or to purchase tickets, go to skillednursingnews.com/events. And now my conversation with Nicole Pretree. Welcome to the podcast, Nicole. Can you reflect on Cedar Community's last year and describe one win that the company or you or your team has achieved?
Absolutely. So I'd say that by far, the biggest win for Cedar Community this past year has been navigating the staffing challenges that we have all faced. And the fact that we have been able to eliminate all long-term contracted agency staffing for our organization, which, as you know, is not only incredibly expensive, but it impacts the quality of care and the culture within an organization. The agency staffing was costing us more than $300,000 per month at its height. Today, I would say we are down to maybe between $10,000 to $20,000 per month at tops for very occasional PRN coverage for vacations or illnesses. And I have to say, this was a total team effort here at Cedar Community, and it was a huge win for our organization this past year.
Excellent. That's great to hear. And can you describe one big challenge that the organization, you or your team, have faced over the last several months?
Sure. I would say, I know everyone is kind of sick and tired of hearing about COVID this and COVID that. But truthfully, one of our ongoing challenges has been to continue to navigate the impacts of COVID, as well as the other respiratory illnesses that we've been experiencing really across the country, and how they can really impact our staffing. With the CDC recommendations for healthcare workers continuing to sometimes mean days or weeks off the job for folks who become ill, that can really stress staffing levels. And we have definitely seen small outbreaks in all of our locations here and there over this past fall and winter. The good news is it does seem to be improving now. But, you know, most long-term care organizations, we have these systems down for dealing with these illnesses and staff shortages. We've been doing this for 4 years. The bad news is that we are still under increased scrutiny as an industry, while the rest of the world has kind of moved on from COVID, and I would say including the CDC outside of long-term care, that is.
Mm-hmm. Looking ahead to 2024, what are your top priorities and goals as CEO and president?
I would say that I have both internal as well as external priorities for 2024. Internally, really continuing to support and enhance our team member and resident well-being is a major push for us in 2024 and for myself especially. I believe it's so very important to focus on mental health and to provide tools and resources for those who may need some extra support. Telling people, you know what, this is hard work in our world and it's okay not to be okay 100% of the time, but how we genuinely model empathy is really critical. This is going to be a rough year, I would say, with a lot of noise going on in the world around us. And we really need to support our people who are caring for our residents and patients so that they can provide the highest support and care to those individuals. I would say externally, my top priority is to continue to explore strategic opportunities for Cedar Community to develop diversified and sustainable revenue. That could include strategic partnerships or maybe affiliations or continued repositioning of some of our current programs and services as we've been doing this past 2 years, I would say. We also, I think, have to find ways to grow and serve older adults, both within our organization, but even more so within the greater community. As the demographics of older adults continues to grow, that's going to be really, really critical for that home-based services component.
Going back a little bit to what you mentioned in the first question as a win with staffing agency use, have staffing pressures eased over the latter half of 2023 and going into 2024?
You know, I would say yes. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we really put a laser focus on staffing. Really, we really began that in the spring of 2023, I'd say. And that continues to today, obviously. We did see, I would say, more individuals applying for jobs than in the past several years, and fewer individuals who were ghosting us in the interview and hiring process. I'm sure many people have experienced that as well. And I would say that once we did get people hired, more team members really stuck around once they got here. And while we did eliminate that long-term contracted agency staff, while we were doing that, we also simultaneously filled more than 40 open FTE positions within our organization in this past year. And we, I'm very proud to say, have maintained a 91% retention rate of those individuals. And I can tell you that as of today, I have one open FTE in my skilled nursing facility, and I am fully staffed in all of our assisted living and independent living communities.
And are there any workforce-related initiatives that Cedar Community has undertaken to improve recruitment and retention? And if so, can you describe them?
Absolutely. I would say that one of our biggest workforce initiatives, mine in particular, I think has been a really kind of a personal focus for me, but it's been the importance of transparency from both a corporate level and right down to that to the frontline staff members. In the past, you know, here at Cedar Community, there was maybe an occasional staff survey here and there, but nothing was ever done in follow-up to those surveys. They just kind of went into Never Never Land, I'd say. When I stepped into the role of CEO a few years ago, my first priority was really to reestablish trust and transparency with both, I'd say, team members and residents. So what we started doing is we really started utilizing a survey tool for our team. It's not an anonymous survey. You know, the old surveys used to be all anonymous and nobody wanted to answer them. And when we introduced this, we told folks, hey, look, this is not anonymous. And we made it clear that we were prepared to hear the good and the bad and yes, even the ugly. And we were not sure how, quite frankly, it was going to be received. But in the first round, when we sent that survey out the first time, we had over 90% of our team members respond, which is incredible for a survey response, as you probably know. But, you know, that's not going to continue. People are not going to continue to give you that feedback unless you communicate back to those individuals, especially if they had shared concerns. Our executive team and our human resources team, they reached out personally to every single staff member who shared a concern in that initial survey round, and they continue to do that today. And believe me, that's an investment in time, but I would say one that's well worth it when you look at the cost of turnover. We've been able to affect some really incredible changes through that feedback and things like benefits and just different workforce initiatives and, you know, just fun things even, I would say, because we communicated those changes and the why behind them. And I would, you know, I'd say we can't change everything. Obviously, you've got some crazy ideas that come and you can't necessarily, you know, accomplish or even afford to do everything. But the important part was that we communicated back to those staff members and they felt heard and they felt valued and they felt like they were part of the process. And that transparency from both the staff and the administration has really helped us to rebuild the trust across the board. From that point, our internal staff recruiting of new team members has really skyrocketed. We continue that survey tool. We continue to use it with new hires. They get surveyed at four different intervals during their first year here of employment. And then we have the ongoing annual surveys for all team members. And we've been doing that now for a couple of years. And I would, to date, our ongoing completion rate is still over 80% on average. And of those survey results, 94% of our team members say they feel appreciated here and that they are considered organizational advocates for Cedar Community, which is just absolutely incredible.
That's so great to hear. And then when you spoke with us earlier this year, or I would say actually towards the latter half of the year, you mentioned some new initiatives on obtaining funding. Can you speak more about these?
Yes, I know I mentioned these at a conference this past fall, and we're working on what we like to call venture philanthropy initiatives here as we look at opportunities to develop funding for future projects. I can't go into too much detail at this point because we're still working on some confidential programs and putting those all together. But I can say that one area that I continue to see as a challenge for operators in the nonprofit space, like Cedar Community, is that the operators, they're not leveraging their donor potential from a capital perspective. We think about donors from donations and estate gifts, which are obviously incredibly important to us as nonprofits. But many of those high net worth donors are very venture capital minded. And we're missing this opportunity to work with those individuals and have them think about how to work with nonprofits from that venture capital perspective. And as I said, as we are developing this unique program, once we have something really solid to share, I'll be happy to revisit this topic with you for sure.
Great, great. Good to know. We've also heard a lot of concern about the rise of Medicare Advantage as a payer for nursing homes, including operational pain from increased paperwork, audits, appeals, etc. Is Cedar Community feeling this pain? And if so, how is the organization responding?
Absolutely. Where we are located, the Medicare Advantage uptake is very high. In our geographic region, the MA penetration is at about 61% of eligible adults in our geographic region. One MA provider alone holds 58% of that market share here in our market. Overall, there are three Medicare Advantage programs that have captured 80% of the MA market in our area. So as you can imagine, there are very few players involved. And with the amount of work involved in these admissions, combined with their very short stays in many cases, and you know, if we're able, again, like you said, the time spent on trying to work through appeals and trying to convince folks that, you know, a few days is not necessarily going to make somebody able to be successful in their outcomes, that's a real financial challenge for us. There's no question about that. We actually are, I'll tell you honestly, we're currently evaluating if it even makes sense for us to continue our short stay program, which is really unfortunate for those who really need those services, but it really has become financially unsustainable in its current state.
Wow. Okay. How have surveys been going for Cedar Community? We've been reporting on concerns over survey processes as many surveyors are recent hires. There's always, the question of third-party surveyors as well. Yeah. So how have those been going for Cedar Community?
Yes, we've heard and seen some third-party surveys here in our state as well, but we've been very fortunate that our last several surveys have been very positive outcomes. We've got good relationships. We have long-term relationships that helps to have, in our case, an administrator and a director of nursing who've been with us combined for more than 60 years. And so they know our state officials very well. And we'll reach out and we'll ask questions and they will respond to us. So we're very fortunate in that. This past year, it's been interesting. Our state moved our organization into a new region for their survey process. So we actually had a brand new team this past year for the first time. But I would say that when really well overall. They shared very positive feedback for our team. And, you know, one of the things we really appreciate is that they always also share some general ideas with us on how we can continue to improve. And, continuous improvement should always be an ongoing focus for everyone. So we've been fortunate. We have had some pretty good experiences with, I would say, both sets of survey teams that we've experienced in the last couple of years.
Great. Are there any metrics you can share related to how Cedar Community has been able to bring down systemic healthcare costs, reduced hospitalizations, et cetera?
We do have some. Our short stay rehospitalization rates remain about 11% below the national average. So that's been fantastic in spite of some of our Medicare Advantage challenges that we just talked about. But our rate of getting folks to successfully return home or to their community is nearly 37% higher than the national average. And we're very proud of that. Obviously, that speaks 100% to the incredible quality and care that our teams are providing. We continue to remain highly focused on quality outcomes and metrics and maintaining our 5-star rating. I would say that our administrator and director of nursing, as well as our quality improvement team, our QAPI team, are constantly evaluating those metrics. And we work very closely with our acute care partners in this space to make sure that they know and understand what those metrics look like as well.
Great. Can you describe any value-based care initiatives currently being pursued by Cedar Community?
Yes. In fact, we have actually been part of an ACO with one of our local hospital systems for years that they've developed a number of years ago. And it's then obviously COVID happened. That kind of got a little bit backburnered, I would say. But they have recently really upped their focus on their post-acute care partners. And we are very fortunate and very blessed to be one of the top care coordination partners in our area with that particular hospital system. So we're really starting to see the whole ACO, you know, the value-based ACO program really kick into high gear here. So we're very interested and very excited about that. We're also exploring other value-based programs as part of our ongoing strategic planning that I mentioned earlier, including serving older adults who want to remain in their homes as long as possible. So we're looking at what that could mean for us in terms of serving those folks. And I would say the other thing too is we're also exploring how AI and technology is going to really impact that value-based care space and how we can work at Cedar Community to be at the forefront of utilizing technology to help improve quality outcomes for folks.
Interesting. And then as a final question, this podcast is called Rethink. What's something that you think leaders in the nursing home SNF sector need to quote unquote rethink? It could be anything, a common operational practice, a common mindset, a business strategy, how advocacy is being done, anything at all.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, kind of reflecting on everything we've talked about and reflecting on what we've been doing here at Cedar Community the last year or two, I think my message is to rethink how to empower and engage your frontline staff. That, you know, is at the end of the day, you know, staffing equals census equals revenue. And everything else that we do is incredibly important, but it really isn't, and it's not really anything that's new or revolutionary in practice. Again, I go back to saying it's about building trust through transparency. And the key to that, I believe, is sharing the why behind key decisions or directions that you're making as an organization. And then how are you messaging those changes? Because people need to hear what you're doing and why you're doing it. And, you know, I'm going to actually be doing a presentation on this very topic at a national conference next week. And when it came down to my final slide, my key takeaways were all about building and maintaining trust, because that leads to a positive and supportive culture within your organization. And then making sure that your team knows that they are heard and appreciated, and that giving your team a sense of pride and ownership in the success of your organization, honestly, that's the best recruitment and retention tool that any of us could possibly ask for. And at the end of the day, it's going to mean better quality outcomes, and it's going to mean financial sustainability for your organization. So just think, rethink, trust and transparency.
Thank you, Nicole Pretree. Thank you so much for your time and insights. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciated the opportunity to rethink even my messaging and how we're communicating that, not just as an organization, it's at Cedar Community to our team members and to our residents, but this is an important conversation for all of us in the long-term care and aging services space. And I appreciate the opportunity to share these thoughts with you today. Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Rethink. I'd like to remind listeners about our upcoming Capital and Strategy Conference, taking place on April 11th in Washington, D.C. Visit skillednursingnews.com/events to learn more and get tickets. Until next time, thanks for listening.